I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast. Chris, let's tell everyone about our brand new sponsor.
Yes, new sponsor alert.
Egg Fried, brand new clothing brand from our very own home county of Essex. If you're into street art, comic books, kind of alternative lifestyle, going to gigs, watching cool films, crazy art, throwing a kind of little bit of Asian culture and a kind of slightly warped sense of humour, and then you kind of get where they're going with Egg Fried, right? What do they make?
They make punchy graphic tees, hoodies, sweatshirts, wicked art prints, as well as a denim range that's handmade in-house, which I think is really cool because it supports that slow fashion movement. It's domestically made stuff and it lasts a long time, and that's really where we're going now. We shouldn't be buying a load of throwaway stuff.
Absolutely, and they're supporting your wallets as well, and let me tell you how they're doing that. If you go over to eggfried.com, go and buy some of their amazing garments, throw them in your basket. Before you check out, they have given you lovely listeners an exclusive 10% discount code, and that discount code is EGGSALAD, E-G-G-S-A-L-A-D. Put that in, save yourself 10%. And if you're not even up for spending money on yourselves, who else can they spend their money on, Chris?
They have a kids range called Small Fried. Very cute, very cool, and that's also available at eggfried.com.
Official sponsors of Hardcore Listing.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listening. I'm one half of your presenting duo. I'm Stuart Finn. Sitting opposite me today via the means of Zoom is...
the handsome Chris Glasson.
Okay. How you been? All right?
Yeah, good, thank you, mate. Yeah, wondering what this weird welt is appearing under my eye. I look like Woogie out of
it. It was full Woogie. I was like, I didn't want to bring it up. So we started chatting, you've been all serious, and I thought... the overwhelming desire in me to just go, what the fuck's that on your face, was killing me.
Yeah, I'm woogie out of something about Mary this morning, mate. Yeah, I'm good, mate. How are you? You good?
Yeah, all right, mate. Yeah, had a nice little run this morning, which felt nice. And, just come home and sitting here, it's pissing down my rain out there. It looks pretty bleak. But we've got a rare sunshine as walked into this podcast.
That is a tenuous link, that is.
That's all right, isn't it? Sunny Green, how you doing?
Woo! Yeah, I'm all good, man. Yeah, it's been a good morning. Yourselves? Thought you both say you're all right, so you don't need to repeat yourself.
I'm great. Thanks for coming on, mate.
No worries.
I had a few people pester me to have you come on. A good friend of mine, Aaron, who is Aaron Shrimpton, who's a director and whatnot. I think you might have been involved in some bits and pieces he's been doing recently. He was like, you should get Sunny on. You know, he's a busy lad in Southend, and you are, mate. You run spoken word nights in Dawson, don't you? What's that? Trouble Tongues.
Trouble Tongues, yeah, mate.
Rapper, actor, activist. Yeah, so you get about in Southend, man. And we hung out a little bit the other week ago as well, didn't we? You was giving me help move my yard as well.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, man. Don't forget the Southend van, man. We're the highest ranked in Google at the moment. We're taking over the van man world.
That's
so
brilliant. That's amazing. Yeah.
Many strings to the bow.
Wonderful. We should also do a quick thank you to our sponsors. Just found out we've got Egg Fried back on for this month. So big thanks to Egg Fried. Amazing teas, sweats, hoodies, if you like your kind of skate type clobber, then go and check them out. And they will say you will save yourself some money with the discount code Egg Salad. What other sponsors we got, Glasson?
We've got the wonderful Love Beer, love-beer.co.uk. Charles from that. Back to delivering tasty lager and the like to your doorstep. So go and check those guys out. Yeah, you can see, you will link them into most of our posts. And he's also building something out of a Land Rover at the moment called the Land Rave. I don't know what he's doing with it, but it sounds boozy and illegal. And our other host, mate, who is that? Who's our other sponsor?
Luke Van Boom. I nearly forgot then, from Bang Boom Creative. So Luke's the guy that does, if you ever see any pictures of us looking slightly less dishevelled, then that seems his magic with a camera. All of the kind of little quirky videos and that you see, that's all Luke. And yeah, and he's a good lad. And yeah, long-term sponsor now.
Yes.
And lastly, just thanks to 76 for producing this podcast.
Thank him.
All right. Yeah, just fully retract that.
Yeah, yeah. No thanks to you, mate. Sonny, thanks for coming on. As you said, you have picked a top five today. Would you like to tell us what it is?
Words.
Words. Nice. Words.
Top five words. I can't really think of much, man. And I haven't prepared any words either. But, I mean, we can just crack on, can't we, and go along with it, I suppose.
That is basically the runnings of this podcast, mate. So, yeah. And I was thinking of something this morning and chuckling in bed next to me missus, and she's like, what are you laughing about? I was like, don't worry. Yeah, I'm sure I'll throw a few out there as well. Yeah, I mean, like being a rapper, I guess that words and being a poet, you know, what, a few?
Yeah, I know a few, man. I know a couple.
He was asking for an actual number. How many words do you actually know?
Yeah. Probably like, I don't know, maybe like 10. I am from Southend after all, so right. Like, you know. But they all rhyme. They all rhyme, you know. Like, so we've got like duck, chuck, cluck, fuck, suck, buck, muck, tuck, ruck, shuck, spuck. And then you just start making them up from there, really.
That's a record. You got a record there, mate.
Sonny's new single is currently available on Spotify.
Yeah. Christmas
duck
number
fuck
one.
Duck
Christmas
fuck
number
club
one. Yeah. It's called Shucks Buck. Yeah. Yeah, new words.
You have just released another single though, haven't you? Grenade.
Yeah, Grenade. It's doing numbers.
Very so catchy.
Yeah, no. I could have to be honest, you know what it's like with in this time, man, a lot of stuff just can just go through the cracks, but Grenade's doing all right, man. We had a bit of radio playing stuff, and yeah, the video's cool. Mark, I always call him Mark Bernard, but I think his name's Mark. No, I think it is Mark Bernard. Celtic Pirate Productions done the video.
It looks really good.
Yeah, we shot it on a treadmill with like a green screen behind us, and then it's all like, yeah.
No,
yeah, then the rest just happened. So yeah, grenade out now. Go have a listen.
So Sonny, how have you found like the last sort of 7-8 months as a, you know, as an artist? You know, have you kind of had to go back and rethink how you approach things, and especially
like
putting out records? Like, you know, the standard kind of way of marketing it, like, you know, going out, going on radio shows, and, you know, doing live events and things like that, that's all kind of not available now. So like, how have you found it, and what have you done?
Yeah, well, let's be honest, this shit, to be honest, right, you know, it's for an artist at the moment, it's really, I won't lie, it's pretty bleak, man, you know. But at the same time, there's been highlights. We did adapt and overcome in terms of like the live streaming thing. We Trouble Tongues was being ran every night on Instagram. We done like 60 episodes every single night, and we connected with like the New York spoken word scene, and it kind of connected all the poets in the UK and all the poets in America together, really. And that kind of blew up, which was beautiful and amazing. That was like the first lockdown, but for me, after a while, it just got a bit, even now, you know, it just gets a bit much just being behind the screen and performing to the phone. It's just weird. Yeah. So that was that. And luckily enough, I got to do one show in Munich with Asian Dub Foundation. We done a sit down gig, which was, I think that was a month ago. yeah, early October. I think we've done that. And that was at a venue called the Backstage in Munich, which was an incredible venue. But you could usually fit 1,500 people in there standing up, but we could only have 150 people in there sitting down. And every time someone started, like, if you stood up, like a guy, like security, big security guy with a bald head would come over to you and tell you to, like, sit down or whatever.
Stop enjoying yourself.
Yeah, yeah. It's just ridiculous, man. So the gig was all right. It went well. But it was just, you know, it's just not the same. And then we kind of started doing the poetry thing as well. We've done a few events at the Jago. We've done two events in Dorston at Trouble Tongues. But we could only have a limited number of 30 tickets. So, of course, they sold out like that. All poetry events were just rammed. Every single one that we could do again was just instantly, the tickets were online for like a couple hours, gone. And it was like people that we hadn't seen before. So that was weird, because usually the events would be all like a little kind of like the usual suspect. Yeah. But this one, they were selling out, and that's just random us that wanted to go out. It was just like weird, you know, but they all enjoyed the event and everything. I'm not saying everyone was random, but like at least half of the people there was.
It's good to see though, right? Because you got some new faces there.
Yeah. No, it was good. It was good. And it was a good vibe. But at the same time, like, you know, it's just not the same. You know, it's not the same. It's simple as that. It's not the same. It's not as good. It's not as busy. I like performing to like packed out places. You know, you don't want to perform to the people sitting down, half empty rooms. It's weird. Usually that would be, you'd be like, well, this night's shit, isn't it? Because obviously it's, no one's here. or it actually didn't seem that, especially the poetry nights with the 30 people spaced out. It kind of seemed still a bit busy, but at the same time, you can't stand up and go, like, you know what it's like, just all the restrictions, man. Obviously they're in place for a reason, but in terms of a host or an event or an artist to perform at, it's
hard to get the same sort of feedback.
Yeah, it's terrible. So
it's weird. I mean, we was lucky that we kind of booked a show before this next lockdown's kicked in, and we done a show in at Colours in Hoxton, Chris and I.
Yeah,
and again, you know, where we'd normally have had, you know, 150 people sitting in there, it was, well, how many could we sell? 50.
In it? And they were all separated, weren't they? It was two people per table, separated by like 2 meters. Strange.
But we was lucky that we had the usual suspects there. But one of the things that really resonated was just people's desire to go out and see something, just to watch something and be able to kind of have something close to what they usually go and do. And that was the thing that, you know, I really drew from that. I thought it was amazing just to be able to kind of connect in a very different way, but still, you know, that was the thing that kind of definitely come across. People's just joy of being back out and being able to be, you know, watch something. That's what come across to me.
For me, I preferred it because I actually had a good excuse for telling people to not touch me or stay away from me.
Jokes. I'm the opposite though, man. I actually love like hugging people and shit. Yeah, it's like, come in.
Yeah, totally.
It's just a bit weird.
It's hard, man. It's hard to sort of like wanna, like, when you see your friends and whatnot, not to hug them and that. And I do this weird, like, if I have seen people, I do this weird thing where I sort of just like awkwardly lean forward and offer out my elbow like that. And it's a strange time, man.
It almost felt that people, and there's a few conversations around it. I mean, a room full of poets are all pretty weird anyway, and like, you know, just kind of, some of us are introverts, some of us are extroverts, some of us are just like, just, you know, weirdos, and me, myself included. So we're already a bit weird, but when it's like kind of learning how to, it felt a bit like learning how to socialize again in those circumstances, under those restrictions. And everyone was looking at each other like, you know, what are your thoughts like? You know, it's been quite divisive, the whole COVID thing.
Yeah.
Especially, and then all this politics as well that's involved, and it's all very divisive. So everyone's looking at each other like, what's your thoughts on this? Like, da da da. And it was like the elephant in the room kind of thing. I'll be honest, I'm just trying to stay away from kind of all the global news and all the worldly things and just focus on what we can do and like kind of like, yeah, just just like the self stuff, really, what we can do and how I can just crack on, like how I can still work and how I can still make money and how I can still do what I love to do. And and rather than get tied up in any of the conspiracy stuff or facts or figures or any of the just oppressive stuff, just try and focus on
it's well outside of our control, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't think human brains were really built for the sort of level of news that we get told now, what's happening around the world. We were meant to know what was happening in like within our tribe of 200 people. So it's also like, what can you do? What can you control? You can control your own behavior and you can help influence positively people around you. That's about it. And that's what I've been trying to do. It's just control my own behavior, really. But I've been doing that, trying to do that for 40 years. So
you can control the TV and just fucking turn it off, because it will not do you any fucking good, man. You will never turn the news off and feel, do you know what? That was great.
Yeah.
You're never going to experience joy from that. You're going to experience fear. And it's just fucking, the juice ain't worth the fucking squeeze. It really ain't.
It's not. But thank God, I feel like people are starting to, for me, I feel like the majority of people I know feel that's the same way. It's only like a few people, maybe like my nan and a few of like the older people I know that still decide to watch it. And even every time it's on, I tell my nan the same thing that you just told us. Like, you know, nan, that's just fear. It's a load of rubbish. And she goes, yeah, I know, whatever. But she'll still watch it, you know. But at the same time, it's like you say, it's just all negative, isn't it? There's no good news on the news. It's as simple as that.
Absolutely,
but bad news sells. Bad news sells. We know that. Look at the papers. It's all the same. It's people. I don't know whether it's just bad news spreads quick as well. It's like all these things. There's a reason for it. You tell someone like you're happy or whatever. Some people don't want to hear it. Some people want to hear the painful stuff or the dark stuff. Or so if someone's died, it spreads quicker than if someone's been born, in a way. And that sounds sad.
No, it's true. Three times faster.
Bad news
will spread three times more than good news.
So
that's what we do.
Let's have a word.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Right, a word. A word. I just don't know what tip, because obviously it's going to start.
I'm
going to start with what I started every episode of Trouble Tongues with, and that is freedom.
Nice.
Yeah. So, and now what do we do?
Talk about it. Why is it one of your favourite words?
If I've got a question about that. If you shut your eyes and thought of the word freedom, what do you see?
If I told you the first thought, it might be a bit much. I was like, what do I see? Freedom. Let me try that one again. Right. So I need to wipe my brain clear, because I literally thought of like beaches and like naked people running around and like, you know.
That's a fine thought to have.
Yeah, just like everyone, yeah, like Caribbean beaches and everyone running around naked, like, wow. But, you know, yeah, it's a bit mad. So that was the first fault. But freedom, yeah, that was my first fault.
I think run with that fault, man.
Yeah. I'll run with that one.
I mean, I think that freedom's something that, I mean, it's pretty fucking topical as well, right? Because it's the one thing that has definitely been taken from us to a degree this year. Do you know what I mean? The freedom to kind of do as you like to do isn't an option anymore. So I think, like, you know, I can see why that word's probably, you know, never far from the forefront of anyone's mind at the moment. You know, it's like, look at where we're at right now. It's like, you know, Saturday, we can't go down the pub. We can't go and have dinner. We can't go to the cinema. We can't go to a club. We can't do anything.
I just want to say it's 10:30. Why are you thinking about going down the pub?
Just take the edge off the day, man.
Fucking hell. I'm not saying we haven't all been there. We have.
There you go. Yeah, so, but for me, like, freedom, obviously, even with, like, a missus and a kid and all that, I still always feel like an overwhelming sense that I need to feel some sort of, like, I need to be free, you know? And and I find freedom within that, even being able to hold a family unit down and all that sort of stuff there's quite a lot of freedom in that, because it's still freedom to be able to, you kind of got to feel, like a little safety bubble to feel free as well, don't you? You know, it's like freedom's a weird one. There's been times in my life where I've been very, very almost free and sofa surfing or sleeping in like venues and stuff and just like just floating basically. But I didn't really feel free because I always felt like I was under someone else's, I always needed stuff. I always needed to knock on someone's door and be like, oh, can I stay here tonight? Can I be there tonight? And very much, it didn't feel as free as I do now, in a sense, when I've got a home to go to and I kind of know where I'm at.
It's quite paradoxical, freedom, I think.
Yeah.
Because, like, in one way, to have it, you've got to have some form of security to enable that. But to have security, there's an element of control, and control isn't freedom. So it's like, it's a weird thing that we all want that, but we all want it in the way that we want it.
Yeah.
And it always comes a sort of price. But I think you've got to have it, and you've got to feel like you have that as a human being, that the freedom to make your own choices. Mm.
Yeah.
But you're not free from the repercussions of those, and that's fine as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can make choices and think, you know, you might pick the wrong fucking takeaway to have, which is a nice, easy freedom choice. Or do something catastrophically wrong. But yeah, it's a funny one, that freedom. But yeah, I think it's something I think we all strive for, innit?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's definitely, like you say, it's definitely something that's, it's like the feel good factor, isn't it, as well? Like when you feel free, when you, it's like a weight off your shoulders for me. That's what it means. Like not having too much burden, really. So.
And you started a lot of your, do you say a lot of your trouble tongues night with that line?
Yeah, everything. We do like a freedom war cry. So it'd be like, freedom! And everyone goes, freedom! Like we scream for freedom, you know? Way before lockdown, this has been going on for years, like Trouble Tongue's 2-3 years old. And that's why it's been a bit mad now, because obviously the lockdown protests and that, they're all chanting freedom and that. So it's kind of like, yeah, I don't want it to get hijacked by all that. It's got nothing to do with that. Like, you know, it's just freedom. As in my sense of it is more like freedom of thought, freedom of expression, and the ability to be free and express yourselves and be able to kind of do and say what you want and as you please, even when it is maybe the wrong thing, you know, and it's okay to be wrong and it's okay to have weird views and views that we know are maybe morally wrong to some people. Mm-hmm. That's like, it's a tough one, and it's a tough one to understand, but I'm very up on this, like, freedom of expression and freedom of thought, because otherwise it just gets pushed underground. It's just because if someone thinks like that, let them be able to say that, otherwise they're still going to think like that. But then, you know what I mean,
the opportunity cost of not having that ability, so we so need that, because the other option is control of speech and thought,
which is what's happening.
You lose so much more in society if you do that. So what comes with freedom of thought and speech and voice and opinions, and sometimes, you know, there's going to be unpopular ones in there, some might be taboo. You need to, okay, sometimes that might be quite, you could even be slightly bad, but it's not half, the cost of that is not half as bad as going, oh, well, you can't say everything you want to say. And it's like, well, who's deciding what you can and can't say?
Yeah, yeah. And now it's
absolutely don't have freedom. And that's
we live in like that cancel culture now anyway. So everyone's kind of treading on eggshells. No one really wants to say too much outside the box or stick their heads above the parapet and that. And it's just scary, man. I just even feel like 10 years ago, people was more like, it, like they would say more stuff and they could, there was more freedom in everything. Yeah. And I can understand it. And it's tough because it's a very kind of, we've got this kind of politics now, which is, it cancels out a lot of stuff because someone might be offended and someone might be this and someone might be that. And it's very strange. It's very strange for an artist and a comedian or a poet not to be able to, you know. I just think, look, if someone's racist, yeah, or someone's a homophobic person, right, then they're never going to be able to be confronted on what they're going to say or how they're going to act unless they expose themselves, right? Yeah. So how are they going to do this in a place like, I'd rather, it's like better the devil you know.
Yeah.
So I'd rather know where your head's at, and rather than you think, even though like I've got quite a lot of like, you know, quite left-wing views as it were, but it is kind of like the left that are very that are kind of, it feels like they're clamping down on that kind of
absolutely
freedom of speech, I guess. And I can see why, and I know why.
Yeah, totally.
There isn't a place for it in society, but at the same time, if it exists, it exists. So how are we going to deal with that? Are we going to kind of try and just mute that person, like kill them, basically, shut down that voice? Or are we going to go, yeah, we recognize that voice exists. People are saying some stuff out of line. How do they deal with that? How do we approach it from a place of love and try to educate these people, or do we approach it from a place of fear and just basically pretend that they don't exist and delete, block, mute kind of thing?
Well, a lot of people who have been like previous advocates on the National Front or all those sort of bodies who have now sort of like turned their lives around, They realised that, you know, what they were sort of like following was nonsense. They didn't do that, and they couldn't get to that without people talking and confronting them about their opinion.
Yeah. You know? Well, I didn't even know that person turned their life around because I blocked them on Facebook and deleted
exactly. them. Exactly, yeah. So, and
I think that person still exists, and fundamentally they've changed, and maybe they don't. That exact character might not exist no more. Mm. And people can change. People can get better. Yeah. Like, I have faith that people can grow and develop and become more mature and become educated. Mm. So, yeah, freedom for people to actually change, man.
Jackson Saves the Moon. The incredible new children's book from Darren Garwood and illustrator Carl Osborne is now available at www.jacksonsuperhero.com, Amazon, Waterstones, and all other major book outlets. Join Jackson in a quest to bring back the moonshine, meet aliens from another planet, and fly in a rocket ship across the galaxy. Jackson Saves the Moon. Other titles in the series include Jackson Saves an Owl and Jackson's Solution to Pollution. Live the adventure at www.jacksonsuperhero.com.
Well, let's get a word from a very well-known racist, Stu Whiffen. Have you got any words that you'd...
Do you know what? The one word that like I try and sort of think about every day is the word joy, right? And I just think like it's a really small word, but it means a fucking lot.
And if
you can experience joy, which is quite a hard thing to experience, I struggle to find joy in a lot of things.
That's why you always look miserable, Stu.
Exactly. Well, it is. It fucking is, mate. And all the kind of things that lots of people experience joy from, you know, like, I don't necessarily always, you know, I'm sure loads of people have, you know, found yourselves in like clubs and things and just thinking, right now I should be experiencing pure joy and I'm not. And I just think, right, hang on, why shouldn't I? But I, you know, I experience joy in probably really odd little ways. And I think, you know, if you can do that once a day, then yeah, joy is a little thing that sort of pops into my head.
I totally think in the sense of joy, and this comes down to freedom as well. It's like, but like a lot of the time we're conditioned to think what we do and do not enjoy, and what's popular and what's not popular. You might like doing something that everyone else goes, why do you even find that fucking remotely interesting? It's like, fuck off, mate. I'm not hurting anyone. I enjoyed doing it. And you've got to listen to that pearl of great price. And I've said that before, that little voice that tells you what you do and do not like, that's you.
Mm.
And if that means that you like fucking, you know, only growing one sort of plant in your back garden, whatever, you know, if it means that you like
where
washing
the
your
fuck
fucking,
did you just pull that
I have got no idea. I've got no intention of growing any plants in my back garden at the moment. You know, it might be you like fucking washing your car. If that's what gives you joy, fine, man. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, you see my car, right?
You do you. Yeah, it's filthy. Have you seen what I've written on your car?
Sonny, let's have your number four, man.
Number three. God, I wish it. Sorry. I know. Justice. Throw it out there. Why not?
Justice.
Chris, what do you think? You think justice?
Are you talking about any, like, the
no,
fact
no,
you think you're going to see me in court anytime soon?
No. Like, in honesty, if you shut your eyes, what do you see when you think of the word justice?
I can't help but think that's a synonym for the truth. I don't know. Like, you know, I guess they are different in the sense that truth is... What people always get confused on these days is that there's always a relative truth, and it's a truth through perspective. And I always feel that justice is more aligned to what the actual truth is of a situation, and that that's what we should strive for, and not use sort of like our own views and political persuasions to find a reason to justify the position that we're having. And I think truth in that is the ultimate justice for our society. Sounds like a weird thing to say, but you know, I haven't prepared that as an answer.
Is that you trying to make a really smart way of basically saying I like seeing like a fat kid that's getting bullied iron out some fucking bully? That's basically what you were thinking.
I mean, come on, let's be honest, right? I guess the other thing I love watching, right, if I'm going to disappear down a YouTube hole, is watching Ultimate Karma videos.
Oh, the best.
Some fucking arseholes giving some skinny lad abuse. And the skinny lad just fucking spinning kicks them into oblivion. There's nothing like that, man. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'd say that. I feel there's not a lot of justice, especially in this day and age, because of things like fake news. And I think we're all fucking complicit in it. And I think we're also determined to be right and wave our flag for whatever position we take in life and clout chase with all our own sort of like social group, that justice and truth just getting absolutely lost. And I think that is going to pull out society, it's putting risk of our society at the moment, I think, is those sort of things. It's conflating the fact that we don't really understand what truth is anymore, and I think therefore we can't really have deep, like, there's not a lot of justice that's happening at the moment for a lot of people. Yeah, so that's what I would say. That and fat kids punching bullies, yeah.
Yes, mate.
How about you, Sonny? Is any thoughts on that? What justice resonates for you?
I don't know, mate. I just feel it's just one thing that makes me feel passionate, I guess, which brings me on to my next word, passion. Passion. But justice, I mean... Yeah, justice is, you know, I love that song, you know, if there's any justice in the world, I'll be your man.
Nice.
It's just something that, yeah, gets me going. Justice is something that I think is kind of like a natural thing for us to stand up for and fight for, really, is for justice.
Do you think there's a lot of that in Southend? Where do you see that going right and wrong in Southend?
That's a tough one, man. Yeah, I think there's a lot of people in Southend that are very passionate and that if they do see injustice plain in front of their face, they will definitely stand up and do something about it for like 100%, you know, on like a street level anyway. But in terms of, like, I don't know, in terms of politically or whatever, I'm not too sure. I'd like to know the actual dictionary definition of justice. That would be an interesting one. That's what I always find with words, is I like to actually, because a lot of words that we know in like that we've learned, when you actually look in a dictionary, they kind of they define a bit differently sometimes. So we've grown to know some words, and they actually mean different things to us, or they resonate differently. But
yeah,
justice in Southend, I mean, it's quite, it's a strange one, isn't it? Because you class the justice system as like the police and the state and the courts, and we all know that the courts, they, it's a tough job, and CPS or whatever, but we just look at things like what happens to like paedophiles and stuff, and compared to maybe people in possession of cannabis and things like that.
Yeah.
And for me, like, there's things like that where it's completely, something's going wrong in the justice system there. But then there's other things where it's correct. It's a tough one. And then within prisons and stuff, I mean, is prison a good rehabilitation to bring people back into society and develop and grow and help them, or is prison kind of like a profit making business that kind of keeps people coming back and doesn't really change society or help people?
I certainly don't think it is, mate. I think it's like, I totally understand how it came about and what we were trying to achieve with it, but do I think it's the final answer for how we rehabilitate and help people come to understand what the ramifications of what they did? I don't think it does. Yeah, definitely. So your next word? So we've had one from Stu. We've had a couple from you, Sonny. Can I throw one in before we move on to passion? Mine's a short word as well. Rat.
There you go.
I love the word rat. Like, I was thinking of other words, but like Stu sometimes uses it as a quite a colourful explanation and a derogatory explanation of female genitalia, haven't you? You've said that before. And that's just such a...
Was that on the first or second drunk cast? I was thinking that was on the second drunk cast.
Yeah.
Because Pip looped it, didn't he? And yeah. Or did you loop it? I don't know, whoever it was.
Rat, I think, is what you said, because you were talking about someone pulling razor blades out one in time.
Oh, yeah, it was about Sticky Vicky in Benidorm.
And I don't know, like, even just the word, like, beyond that. So I like a crass explanation of anything, any body part where there's a crass explanation of it. I think that's funny. As much as you can have a nice polished explanation for a body part, especially when it's like when we're talking about penises or pussies or tit, I love it. I just love that colourful language, whether or not it's derogatory or not. And that goes beyond, I guess, Sonny, what we're talking about, what we find as taboo or politically correct or anything like that. But I just love, I like the fact that rat is such a short word, but it's so powerful in its use. And it's not really used ever in a positive way, is it? Like, rat is like someone who's sort of normally in the eyes of the law, someone who's done something that the rest of the criminal underworld would see as, you know, the one thing you never do. And I don't know, I just love that. I love the fact that it has that power, such a short word. And it just, rat, it's short, it's punchy.
It's powerful, because if someone, amazing, like, literally, you know, strolled up to me on the front door of my club and just went, "You're a fucking cunt," I'd be like, "I've heard that enough." But if someone went, "You fucking rat," I'd be like, "What have I done wrong? Yeah. What have I done? Have I crossed the line somewhere here?" Because I find that is far more, like,
offensive. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It would definitely make me question something. Mm. Like, because it makes you feel like you've kind of, I don't want to tag it to just the criminal fraternity.
Yeah, yeah.
But just in general, it's like you've done something a bit underhand. You've had someone over,
yeah,
you know, in any sort of, you know, walk of life. And, yeah, you fucking rat. I think that's really cutting that.
I think the person who's getting the worst end of the stick here is actually rats. Justice for rats, I'd say. Poor
justice for rats. I mean, you know, on a Banksy tip, Banksy loves rats, doesn't he?
Mate, exactly, man.
What did I say? You're in London, you're never, is it, what, you're never how far away from a rat?
3 foot.
3 foot. You're never 3 foot away from a rat. That's mad, isn't it?
No, why?
Yeah, which is crazy. And funnily enough, I've done a move yesterday, of that Southend van man job, 07478-999660. moving someone from the Isle of Wight to Southend, and they had a big rat cage in the in the van, yeah. So, but they took the rats in their car, and we moved them. And yeah, they got a lot of character rats. They're quite interesting. And I said to the girl, like, I wouldn't fancy them in my front room, but you know, I can see where you got them.
Yeah, absolutely. They're fucking. I have seen some big old rats though as well when I lived in London. That's not a euphemism for anything else. I'm just saying I've seen some gigantic rats. That's got
it's,
to
it's also something. Like the Don of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Rat. Splinter's the boy.
Even that. Like the karate rat.
The karate rat.
Yeah. Mate, I want to change.
I'm older than you guys. I'm way older than you boys, but like Roland Rat, man. He bossed it when I was a kid, man. Like, rats get a tough fucking rap. They really do.
They do. Yeah, leave them alone, man. So what's your other word? Was passion, Tony?
No. Yeah, passion. Maybe we should do something a bit more, I don't know, a bit more lighthearted.
Go on, then.
Maybe something like, I don't know, cocaine.
Cocaine.
Cocaine with the rats. Yeah,
that's another taboo thing. That word, well, that is pretty taboo. I mean, I guess less so. There's a book where I'm staying at the moment. There's a book, and it's a guy. He's called Matty Matheson, who's a chef. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of him. I hadn't.
Most chefs do cocaine, man.
That's literally the back of his book. Like the back of this book, it's just called a cookbook, and it's literally like, this isn't about sustainable seafood or how much cocaine I did before or after service. And I thought, that's pretty bold just to say that on a cookbook. Isn't it? Just to come straight out with it. Yeah.
Yeah, cocaine. It's funny how many like ethical kind of like vegan, vegetarian kind of dudes like a bit of cocaine as well, because it's pretty bad for the environment. But
yeah,
I think cocaine's like the cocaine is like that kind of, it's that thing, isn't it? I mean, it's one thing that definitely didn't and won't stop coming into the country due to Brexit, that's for sure.
No.
But it's just one of them things that, especially I think in Southend as well, it's quite a hot spot for cocaine, I guess, and gear and all the words that come with it. And just what it is, maybe, cocaine. It sounds good as well. I think the word cocaine, like, it sounds, it's got a good ring to it. But at the same time, it destroys families and communities and all sorts of stuff as well, man.
It's definitely got two sides to that. It does feel it seems like quite exclusive and powerful, doesn't it? Cocaine, and yet at the other end of it, it's vacuous, and it just, as you say, it destroys families and people who use it. And it's kind of weird you say that when you're talking about like people who are sort of like they're on a health tip, but they'll do, you know, if they're doing things like coke, which are just, I don't know if you've ever seen how cocaine's produced, but
yeah,
it's grim. It's just like it's just not a nice thing to, you know, stick up your nose after you see what they've done with it, basically. It's a strange old thing.
I mean, I don't know if you know, say, I run a nightclub just outside of Southend.
Okay, what one?
The Pink Toothbrush.
Okay, yeah.
And any time over the last 25 years, I've seen something happen where there's been an incident that is like bleak. It's not booze.
Yeah.
Every time it's cocaine. And like, you can just see that people turn up at the door and we refuse to let them in. You can see it a mile off.
They're charged up, yeah.
The aggression in it. And like, and you just think, no thanks. If someone's had a couple of pints and you turn them away, generally they might just call you a tosser and walk off. Someone's had a spliff, they'll just go, all right, and they'll fuck off over the road and
They never came to your club in the first place, mate. If I have a joint, I'm not like, you know what, I'm really stoned. You know where I are fancy going right now is the pink toothbrush. I'm just going to stay on my sofa, mate, and eat Cheetos.
But, aside from every event that we've ever put on, Chris, if there's people outside that are gobbing off and there's a situation, you can guarantee cocaine's never far from it.
How many times do we get asked for coke? It's so funny. Like,
crazy.
Do you remember that that legal barrister girl, that really posh bird who was asking for cocaine? Oh, man, that was hysterical.
Yeah, and I'm that guy as well. Everyone always asks me, just randomly, even some, can you get me anything? Things like that. And, It's crazy. But I'm like a bit of an advocate for I haven't took any drugs or alcohol or anything now for nearly 3 years. Yeah. But when I was younger, I'm only 26, but the first line of cocaine I had when I was 13,
Wow.
It was a big thing, and MCAT was legal as well, and a lot of people used to do that. And we went to do coke and all that sort of stuff, and it was like a big thing in Southend, and it was like a culture thing as well. And I think it's a culture thing. It's like if you're like a lad or whatever, or a geezer, you do a bit of gear, it's all that thing. And it's, for me, it really disconnects you from like yourself, and it makes you like unconscious, and you're not conscious of what you're doing, and it's a dark thing. It's like quite devilish, it's very dark, and I just feel that it's a big blight. It's really on our community. It's terrible, man, and it's across the UK, and it's not just that. It's like the money that can be made out of it is kind of it's really like. I'm not going to lie. I know people I grew up with, whatever, that are involved in things around that drug and that. And it kind of hurts a little bit to know that someone can go mess around with that and make the money that they can make, and you've got to graft like a dog to earn like 20% of it or whatever, of the profits that can be made out of it. And that's why so many people get. And then there's geezers on building sites that slave away all day with a shovel and cement, and they'll break their back 10 hours a day or whatever, and then they'll go spend it all in, do it all in an hour on a gram of gear or whatever. It's nuts. Yeah. And it's, again, that's one of them hidden things, isn't it? In no one wants to talk about cocaine, really. No one wants to talk about the cons of it. Yeah, there are a few pros, I guess, that people can maybe release a few inhibitions, but come on.
If there weren't a pro to it, no one would be doing it. No one's dealing shit. Do you know what I mean? There's obviously been perceived.
It's that instant thing, isn't it? It's that quick dopamine hit. It's that quick release. It's that quick, oh, I'm good. Everything's all right now. Oh, great. Wow, buzzing. Amazing. Like, I'm here. I'm confident now. I can do this. I can do that. Like, it's that instant 2020 Instagram, 1,000 likes, smash. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Look at me. I'm top of the world. I'm the man. I feel good. It's that. But what happens the next day? What happens the day after? So I remember even when I was a kid, I used to do it, man. And then a few days after, a week after, I'd start breaking down in tears for no reason. I'd be like, why am I crying? Like, why do I feel like this? Like, the come downs, and it's just nuts, And it's one of those things. Should we legalize it? Should we legalize all drugs? Should we start? Because there's lots, it was only, what was it? Was it earlier this year or later last year when people were sniffing white heroin and dying? Yeah.
Right, yeah.
When was that? It's like things like that. And then
I'm for it because you never stop the need for it. I'm for just legalizing it and giving better information on it and not making
Legalize it and then invest all profits made, which would be like billions and billions and billions into what? Rehabilitation service, bereavement programs, youth programs, education, this sort of stuff. All the holistic kind of, all the holistic approaches to how we can make ourselves feel good and feel better naturally. Because there is no better, there's no better high than a natural high that can look like going for a run in the morning, things like that, that is such a struggle to do.
Don't listen to Stu saying he's gone for a run in the morning. That is fucking bullshit. He got down to the front of his garden, didn't you?
Had a little lay down in, yeah. Then went home and had a cup of tea.
Passed out.
Well, so we need one more word from you, Sonny.
Okay. I don't know, man. I think, I don't know, really. One more word. God. drop the three-letter bomb.
To finish.
Drop the God bomb. Yeah.
You religious, God. Dude?
Am I religious? I wouldn't say I was religious. No, I don't. I wouldn't put myself in any. I wouldn't say I was religious, but I do believe in Jesus Christ. Yeah, I do believe in Jesus Christ. But you know, that I'm not denying any other. Again, it's the freedom thing. Yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in a God or whatever, but I also have no qualms against any other ideology or thought pattern or way of thinking or anything like that. But more recently, I've found comfort in having a faith in a higher power. Yeah.
So. Nice.
Yeah.
I think there's more of a resurgence in that, you know. I've seen that boat turning. Because for a large part of the late 90s and most of the 2000s, I think we've been quite atheist or agnostic.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I think it's good that people can... There's much more what you've said there. The rhetoric there is, look, you know, this is what I believe I'm into, but, you know, you do you, I think is the best way to be about it.
And why I wouldn't say I was religious, sorry to cut you off, why I wouldn't say I was religious is because of the whole divisiveness of it all. It's to go, yeah, I'm a Catholic, or I'm a this, or I'm a, you know, I'm a Muslim, or whatever it may be. I just wouldn't want to. I feel like it can be so divisive, man. And as soon as you say this, like obviously it says in the Bible, never to, if you deny Christ, it doesn't say like, yeah, I'm a Christian, or I'm in Church of England, or I'm a Baptist or Methodist or whatever. It doesn't say any of that. So I believe in Jesus, but I wouldn't say I was religious. I think religion over the years as well, I mean, over the centuries, look how many people it's been a disaster,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
It's been so destructive, and it's got nothing to do with Jesus or Muhammad or any of the prophets, really. Right. What's gone on?
It's so weird because the people constantly, and I see this all the time in society, is like we talk about multicultural, or and you can have that with religion as well. And it's like, but there are obviously things that are different in every single culture, in every single religion, but they actually what we should be focusing on is, well, what threads are common? Because there's so many common things. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. The intent behind a lot of it is they share similar threads. And that's like, you know, don't be a dick.
Yeah, don't be a dick. And that works in science as well. I know loads of people, no, God's bullshit, whatever. Okay, great. That's okay. That's up to you, yeah? And that's amazing. And I've got time for anyone's thoughts. And if they don't believe in God, good for you, man. That's brilliant. It's when people start trying to push things onto people where there's a problem, isn't there? Yeah. So it's like, if my friend who just believes in pure science, and, you know, if they just start saying, like, trying to beat me down, I believe in like a higher power or whatever, or something that's greater than us, whether you call it the universe or God or Jah or Allah or Buddha or whatever you call it, that there's still, for me, there's something out there that we can't described as things that happen that are supernatural in this world.
Mm-hmm.
There's things that have happened and do happen that science cannot explain. The soul, for instance, like, mm-hmm. Where does the soul go? Where does those 8 grams that, mm-hmm. when you pass away straight away, where's the 8 grams of the soul go? You know, there isn't a scientific explanation for that. It's not because you shit yourself straight away. It's not because of that. Yeah, it's these hidden questions, yeah, which for me, there's so much substance in, and like, yeah. Obviously, it's a very controversial word, God. It's very, yeah. It shouldn't be, but it is. But it is a good talking point, and it's something that that I find can be a very, it can be very comforting for some, and it can be, it can be, you know. I just think, yes, yeah, I just think it's a really interesting topic and word, and something that human beings have spoke about for God knows how many years.
God knows, and they will till forever. Because, like, the thing that science and religion share, when I'm talking about being omnicultural, like sharing common things,
yeah.
science is faith-based, and people don't realise this, right? Like, science is all based on a thing called induction, which is it's true until it's proven wrong. Mm-hmm. So once they had the atom, everyone was going, oh, atom's the smallest thing, atom's the smallest thing, atom's definitely the smallest thing. Turns out it's not the smallest thing. Because yeah. once science developed, they realised there was actually something beyond that. But they were having faith in the fact that atom was the smallest thing. So science is a faith-based system in and of itself. And, like, you know, no matter how far we get to proving all the secrets of the universe, there'll always be what, well, I think, there's always going to be that next thing, which is always going to require some sort of faith. So, yeah, I think it's a... There's still trends between people, scientists and people of religion, that it's still like kind of faith-based, really.
Yeah, and if it works for you, if yeah. it brings you joy, if it brings you yeah. freedom, if it brings you happiness, yeah, all of these things that we kind of spoke about in the podcast, then, man, that is incredible, do you know? There's probably millions of people every day with their connection with their spirituality or with God. It keeps them, it brings them joy. It keeps them out of trouble. It stops them, you know, what is it, 18 men under 45 commit suicide a day, you know. And without all these other things in life, without joy, without happiness, without a faith, or without, you know, all these things we've spoke about, would that number be a lot higher? Mm. Almost definitely yes, you know. So
well said, yeah. Sonny. Very well said, mate. Well said. Well, I think that wraps it up quite nicely, man. I think you've packaged up the podcast there and given it a nice little roundup. Where can people find you, mate, online?
They can find me on social media at Sonny Green UK, and on Facebook, Sonny Green, YouTube, Sonny Green. That's SONNY Green, like the colour, and on Spotify, all of that good stuff. Yeah, I'm quite active on Instagram mainly. And yeah, that's it, really, just Sonny Green everywhere.
What you got coming up? Anything you want to...
I've been recording a lot of new songs and a lot of new material with a great producer called Spud. Spud Got Beats. He's really talented. And yeah, I've got a few. I've got the film with Aaron Shrimpton coming out, Arcade Nights. There's quite a lot going on behind the scenes and stuff I'll be announcing. Troubled Tongues will consistently carry on to some extent, especially hopefully when these measures have come up, we'll have another event. That's a monthly thing, first Thursday of every month. So at Troubled Tongues on Instagram for that. And yeah, we've got some shows booked in for next year, some Asian Dub Foundation shows across Europe and some in the UK as well. So yeah, there's lots going on, but, like, you know, everything's up in the air at the moment, but hopefully that will all come to fruition.
Wonderful. Yeah. Best of luck with it, Sonny.
That's fine. You too. And thanks for having me on.
Been a pleasure, mate. Absolutely,
grateful, man. And yeah, it's been a pleasure to come along and just kind of ramble on.
Yeah, Sonny.
Take care. See you soon.
Chris and I want to tell you all about our Patreon page. It won't take long, but we think you're going to want to hear it.
Because you're missing out, quite frankly.
Massively.
All the more risque stuff that we sometimes think, oh, can we get away with that? We put it on our Patreon pages, and there's over 150 episodes for our $10 subscribers.
Absolutely. So for whatever that works out in UK pounds, what's that, about £7.50 a month?
Yeah, for the price of a bag of chips, for a Savoy and chips, you can actually have us in your ears four times extra a month.
That's four episodes minimum that we put out exclusively for Patreons, plus There's loads of, we video most of our episodes now, and the videos, you can watch all of the podcasts now over on Patreon as well. We put up loads of other unique content over there.
Yeah, there's pictures there. It's basically our version of our OnlyFans account, isn't it, basically? So you get the sort of pictures on there of the behind the scenes of Stu tucking into a pot noodle, basically. Sort of stuff that shouldn't be available to the public.
No one needs to see that. But that's all. We just thought we'd give you a quick heads up that if you're enjoying these podcasts, then be aware for like £7.50, you can go and listen to over 150 exclusive episodes. And there's some great ones over there with previous guests as well. Loads of names that you're going to recognise if you've been listening to the weekly podcast we put out.
And also, if you are a subscriber, we're more than likely to do one of your top fives if you recommend it, because we prioritise the patrons first, don't we, as well?
Absolutely, yeah. So we try and sort of do as many top five suggested by you lot as well. So, yeah, head over to Patreon. Where can they find out about it, Chris?
Patreon.com/hardcore listing. Easy peasy. And you can watch an intro video there as well of us in jacuzzis and doing sexy stuff.
With Gal Porter.
Not doing sexy stuff with Gal Porter. Can I just clear that up? Gal, I'm not trying to drag your name through the mud.
And Scroobius Pip.
Yeah.
All right. patreon.com/hardcore listing. It's a drunken soiree in the within. Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.